Holy cow. Quite the episode tonight.
I hate everything and everyone.
Definitely a lot going on this episode. We will try to set you up for the big development that happened at the very end of this episode.
I'm so depressed.
So, as we kind of found out in the previews after last week's episode, this was going to be the very first team challenge for our contestants. And we start off the episode just kind of, again, seeing the contestants in their social setting. And we meet the 310 Bond, which is the group of Rick, Robbery, Alex, and Cornelius, which when they were first explaining this, wasn't very sure if Cornelius was actually part of this group.
Or he just happens to be there.
If he's just like the fourth guy that lives in that room.
They all say 310 power, and then Cornelius walks in. They're like, oh, don't worry. We weren't doing anything cool.
Like, and they really like Alex, Robbery, and Rick are really talking amongst themselves. About, you know, how well they're all doing. They were all three in the top from last week. And Cornelius is just kind of in the room at this point.
Yeah, it's like when you have, like, you move in with three of your friends, but you need one more roommate, and you just pick a random person off Craigslist. And so then you guys have fun together, but you feel guilty, and then the person walks in, and you're like, oh, hey, we're just hanging out. I guess you can hang out if you want.
Right. So, like we said, this is a team challenge, and we kind of get the parameters of the challenge. It's going to be a four-look mini collection, and the teams are going to have one day to design and construct their looks. And the twist in this challenge was that their budget was going to depend on how a group of mystery investors felt about their presentations.
And this was the Mary Kay challenge for this season. So Mary Kay sponsors the show and they do all the makeup. So one of the goals with this challenge was to combine fashion with the entrepreneurial mindset that Mary Kay embodies. And they said that Mary Kay empowers women because it allows women to be like individual sales ladies.
I know of men that sell Mary Kay.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure my uncle sells Mary Kay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, salespeople, let's say. And they were supposed to kind of incorporate that in their pitch to the investors.
Right. And another part of this challenge is that each of the individuals on the winning team was going to get $5,000. So a very substantial amount of money is also in play here.
Yes. So each mystery investor has $1,000 that they can split up for each team. So the goal is to get as much money as possible from the mystery investors so you have to get the best stuff at Mood.
Right. So Rick was the winner of last week's challenge. So he was named one of the team captains and he received the first overall pick in the 2016 First Team Challenge Project Runway Draft, which isn't usually how that works. Usually the worst person gets the first pick. But in this case, the worst person kind of got the second pick.
It kind of worked out that way.
Rick takes Alex first overall. How the other team's captain was decided was pulled out of the button bag. And lo and behold, Brick is our team captain for the other team. It's like Sam Hinkie running a fashion design team.
You'll have to tell me who Sam Hinkie is.
Sam Hinkie was the former GM of the 76ers who essentially was just like, I'm going to make my teams as terrible as possible so I can get the first pick every single week, every year. It didn't work well for him.
I was like, I do not recall a time when the 76ers have won the title in my living memory.
So, Brick, showing off his amazing GM prowess, decides to pick Tasha second, which don't get me wrong.
Right.
I love me some Tasha. There are about two very obvious choices
right.
as to who should have been the second pick.
Tasha does not have a win on the season, and she was in the bottom last week, so that was a very interesting choice.
Right. So Alex gets to make the next pick. Rather obvious who this should be. It's Robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Tasha makes a pretty solid pick in Laurence next. Robbery decides to take Cornelius after that. And then Laurence decides to be smart and pick the person that has won the most challenges thus far and takes Aaron. Aaron somehow drops all the way to sixth in
yeah,
this draft.
Yeah, that was shocking. It does remind me, we're going to do a quick throwback to last season when there was a team challenge, but it was kind of a Mean Girls setup in that it was just a bunch of Mean Girls, and they left the person that had won the most challenges to be picked last.
Right.
So I was like, well, at least we're not that bad there. But yeah, it was surprising that Aaron was that far down.
So Aaron is looking like the steal of the draft so mm-hmm. far, but that may change.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. Cornelius takes Ma Jing. Aaron goes with Dexter. Ma Jing takes Natalia, and then that leaves Jenny as the last kid picked in kickball. Sometimes they're the good kids, though. You never
right.
know what happens.
Well, she did have that weird granny stripper look from last week.
Right.
So
she,
maybe people are remembering
she,
that.
But she also almost won a challenge, too.
Right.
So, you know, you
she's
don't know,
up and down.
You don't know what you're going to get with Jenny.
Right.
She's streaky.
So the teams have to pick names, and the team led by Rick goes with Team Unity, and Brick's team goes with Team Button Bag. And I'm sure you guys know you're not hearing that incorrectly. I do say button, so sorry for that for this episode.
What, like a t-shirt, what's that made out of?
Cotton.
Okay, just checking. So they start kind of designing what their overall look is going to be and what this collection is going to look like. Both teams come with very similar design aesthetics. They want to make somewhat high-end clothing for the young professional woman.
I'd say that's true. And it seems as though up to this point, we have gotten a look into Alex's background, and he has a business background in the fashion industry, and he tells his teammates that he does pitches a lot. One example he cites is that he did a pitch for Goldman Sachs recently. So he's chosen to give the pitch for his team. And then we go over to Team Button Bag, and it seems as though they're having a little bit of trouble coming up with a concept and a plan on how they're going to pitch. They're a kind of an eclectic group of individuals, so they all have a lot of different ideas. And it seems as though the show is setting us up for a little bit of chaos with this team, because there's just a lot of things and ideas and colors being thrown around, but they're not even talking about this pitch meeting.
Right. So we get to meet our mystery investors, and it turns out it's just Nina, Zach, and Heidi.
Wah, wah.
So we don't really get to meet anybody all that interesting.
Yeah, that was kind of a letdown for me. What did you think of that?
I guess it makes sense.
Sure.
Like, I suppose.
Keep it tight.
Yeah, keep it tight. They can kind of see the beginning to end of it, and can make their judgments based off of that.
Yeah, I was worried that they were going to go, you know, this is 2016, the election. I was worried they're going to go with like a apprentice sort of feel,
yeah.
sort of thing.
We don't want that.
No, that would have been too off the rails for this show.
Yeah. So Team Unity, their main inspiration behind the overall look of their collection is they want to build confidence in the professional woman.
Yeah, it was to me a little bit of an interesting pitch because they were just saying random ideas. It wasn't anything that I'm like, oh, that really jumps out as something that they've have this, you know, really well thought out and cohesive idea of what this woman is doing. They said it's a woman that is educated with a career, and their starting color palette is black and navy, which I'm like, oh, boring. That reminds me of like the looks that I get to wear. It's all very, you know, basic. But they wanted to really pop with modern and incredible details. And it's supposed to be moderately affordable and going to compete with Theory and Helmut Lang. And I will confess my ignorance to both of those brands. I really have no idea on either of those. We don't have those around here.
And if you haven't heard of it, right, you know I sure as hell haven't heard of it.
I mean, what did you think of this pitch? Were you on board? Did you get it?
I mean, it was, in the moment, it was kind of hard to think this is going to go well or this is going to go poorly.
Right, it was hard to...
Just because we also hadn't heard what the other team's pitch is going to be at this point. So with their color palette especially, it was hard to see how this is going to stand out.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe what they were trying to go with is that they know that most women work in muted colors. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a way to make them feel high end, make them feel, you know, high fashion while still keeping it in that muted color scheme.
Sure. And I liked their sketches. Like, you know, they presented sketches along with their pitch, and it seemed like they were on a really good track. I think that the questions that the investors posed were fielded really well. So it felt like, even though they didn't have a fully formed concept, they were on a track, at least.
Right.
So Dexter presented for Team Button Bag, and they decided that they wanted to kind of find the untapped demographic that's being pushed forward by the tech industry. And again, I thought, wow, that's just a lot of words. I didn't know if that was a really thought through concept. Dexter said that they were going to collaborate on each piece, and that their competitive advantage was the strength of each designer that they were going to combine into this one collection. Their point of view of their collection was their collective backgrounds plus fun and a little bit of badass. So again, we're just getting like kind of really high concepts. We're not getting anything super concrete. To me, they had a not cohesive group of sketches. They had, you know, this really polished leather jacket and then this really kind of frumpy big coat, mm-hmm, that they were showing. And, you know, they weren't really sure what their price points were going to be and who they're competing with. They took a pause on that. And then Aaron said, maybe, you know, $100 to $300 as our price point.
Right. Well, as they were like at discussing it as a team, they did mention somewhere between Levi's and Diesel.
Okay.
And I guess kind of in hindsight, I could see a little bit of what their design aesthetic was going for, as opposed to Team Unity. I thought maybe it was a little clearer. Like, the tech industry is this, you know, it's a growing field, and it's, you know, but it's a little more laid back and dress codey.
Yeah, it's not so corporate office.
The corporate, right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's really, I think, like, obviously there's not a ton of time for them to make their teams and come up with their designs and sketch it out. So I feel like both teams did well in the time allotted.
For sure. So once we get through both teams' pitches, we learn how each judge is going to divvy up their money. And Zach Posen goes first and really just kind of sets the tone for how this entire thing is going to go.
Yeah.
Which becomes very, very surprising.
It does.
Zach gives $800 to Team Button Bag, leaving $200 to Team Unity.
I have to wonder if how they filmed and edited, probably more on the editing side, the pitches, that all of them were shocking.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because when he was like $800, you're like, wow, that is definitely a skewed, obviously, that this 80% of his money is going to Team
right.
Button Bag.
And this is where maybe the influence of it being the judges over actual investors comes in, because Team Unity, with Alex leading their presentation, was a lot more professional. It was a lot more structured. It had the polish of an actual corporate presentation. Mm-hmm. But with the judges doing this, they were probably looking more at the fashion side. What would look better? What
right.
would sell more? What would really stand out?
So then Heidi announced her investment decisions, and she gave $600 to Team Button Bag and $400 to Team Unity.
So a little closer to,
right.
to even. And then Nina mirrored Zach's allocation in giving $800 to Button Bag and $200 to Unity.
So Team Button Bag ends up with $2,200 total to go shopping with at Mood, which is huge. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Granted, they are needing to create four looks out of this, but that is a good chunk of change compared to the $800 that Team Unity has. So they have to be very conscious of how much fabric they're getting, the type of fabric, and how they're going to create cohesion out of just $800.
Right.
So while we're at Mood, we kind of get a feel of the dynamics of each of the teams. Everyone is getting along very well up to this point, which I was a little surprised by. But we do see Majing feeling a little left out. You know, he says he's feels like the outsider because you have all the roommates, and then Cornelius and Natalia are best friends, and he's kind of just this add-on. And then there was a point where Cornelius called him what's his name, so we kind of get a sense that that could be a little bit of a, you know, dramatic moment there.
And then later on, as they're kind of getting things together and designing and everything, Alex calls him what was like
Mahjong.
I don't think it was Mahjong, but he mispronounced his name. And Majing was like, if you mispronounce my name one more time. So then there's kind of like a extending the olive branch type moment, in that they try and get to know Majing. They, you know, so, you know, where are you from? What's your, you know, what's your backstory? And they specifically asked where his name comes from. And Ma Jing's father was Chinese and black. And so if you look at Ma Jing, you would never, ever know that, because he is, like he said on the episode, just pure black. So I will have to apologize to Ma Jing for my comments that I made in the very first episode that he made up his name. That is his real name, apparently. Ma Jing Wong is his real name. So,
I
am sorry, Ma Jing, if you ever hear this.
As we're looking at the dynamics of Team Button Bag, you know, they seem a little, they're having fun together, but they seem to have trouble putting their concept together completely. They have a lot of ideas and a lot of enthusiasm, but they're kind of unsure about where they're going, is the impression that I'm getting.
Yeah, and that seems to be the theme of the episode going forward,
mm-hmm.
is that they are really struggling getting everything together as a cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm. So then we have the Tim Gunn critiques pretty early, it seems like, in this episode. We don't see a lot of how it's going in the workroom before he comes in. So he starts with Team Unity, and he says that the palette feels pretty luxe, gets a lot of mileage out of the looks, and he thinks it looks modern. You know, he's looking at each of the looks and he's wondering, like, can you mix and match the pieces here? He's not sure that the jacket that Natalia is creating is going to go with all of the looks being presented. And he said, you know, the one thing that they're going to need to do on the runway is just own this somber palette. Explain why. Because they have mostly, it's blacks.
It's a lot of black and gray.
Yeah, it's this metallic gray. They do have one pattern I'm not loving so far. It's a black background with some darker, like, navy and green floral.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've incorporated throughout. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not going to catch you with its brightness. But Tim has a very positive critique. He ends it by saying this is an outstanding merging of six point of views. So, you know, they're feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah. He then moves on to Team Button Bag, which at this point has decided to kind of fancy up their name, and they are now House of Bouton,
which is House of Button.
Right. They could at least have gone with Maison de Bouton. That actually sounds a lot better.
That does sound better. Rhymes. Mm-hmm.
And, Laurence should have been all over
right.
that. I assume she was the one that came up with the Bouton part. Tim goes over their collection, and he says that there are too many individual looks throughout their collection. He says that, you know, this skirt and this top look great together, but there's no way that you would wear that skirt with this top over here.
Which, shocker, that was Brick's look.
Right. And so he just says that nothing really matches. This really needs to be a collection, because that's exactly what the challenge is four cohesive looks with kind of a common theme. So we get into the construction and fitting portion of the episode. I have a question that, can Natalia only make jackets? Like, is that must be her thing? Because
I'm wondering.
Here she is, she's making another jacket. I'm pretty sure she's had a jacket
pretty much
in every single challenge.
Yeah, because even the first one she did. I'm thinking that she's going to struggle. At some point, there's going to be an evening wear challenge, and she's going to struggle because she's going to have to create a gown. And you can't really create a jacket gown. So it does seem that's her thing.
Right. And then as the models come in to get fitted, this again may be a lot of editing, but I mean, Team Unity is on top of things. They have things ready to be put on the models to be kind of fitted and adjusted according to who was wearing what.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything just about done.
Yeah, their looks are nearly fully completed outside of just the tailoring. Whereas, conversely, House of Bouton doesn't really have any full looks. They have, you know, a skirt here, a top there, a jacket, but really that's it.
Yeah, and even the stuff that they were putting on the models was, like, half constructed. It was just a way to, like, cover them up and get a fit. And then they were just going to kind of work from there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing that I found odd throughout this entire episode was that anytime they asked for, you know, the contestants' thoughts on the other team's look, because they're all in the same room, they can see everything that's going on, none of the contestants had anything good to say about the other team's looks.
Which is atypical.
It was all like a, ugh, that skirt, I don't think I would wear that. Mm-hmm. Or, I can't believe they put this with this. Mm-hmm. And there is just, like, nobody. There's only one time that I can remember that somebody was just like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Team Unity was slamming the color choice of House of Bouton. And I think some of the team members of House of Bouton were saying that Alex's dress wasn't very well made over on Team Unity.
Right. And Erin has a very interesting point of view in all of this. she said that Team Unity did a lot of over-designing, and she thinks that House of Bouton has, their looks are better because they had to simplify everything because they were so far behind, which I guess that's one way to spin that. It was like we had to make things look worse because we didn't have our stuff together.
Yeah. As day one is ending, I am nervous because House of Bouton has a lot of things that are just not done. They have some rough seams. They have some just things that just aren't finished at all.
Yeah.
And there's not much time the day of the runway show. And I wrote down, like, is Aaron going to go home this week? Like, I am genuinely nervous about how things are going to go from this point forward.
Right. And again, and maybe another editing trick. But even as, like, they are taking the models out to the runway, like, Team Unity's models are ready to go and out. And they make it seem like the House of Bouton is still, like, literally, like, sewing things together.
It seemed like they were racing around 10 minutes before with half-made garments. So my impression is that there's going to be some frayed edges or some unhemmed cuffs or edges throughout their look. Like, it just seemed as though the skirt and the pants that they had were completely unfinished.
Yeah. So we head out to the runway and we do learn that Rick still has immunity. So he got two perks from this challenge.
Yeah.
He got to choose who he wanted on his team first, and he still can't get sent home.
Yeah, that was a good challenge to win.
Yeah, for sure. And then we have a guest judge of Sabrina Carpenter.
She is on Girl Meets World. She plays the Sean equivalent to Corey on this new reboot.
Right.
I've never seen it.
So she's another Disney star that gets handed a record contract.
Right.
Which we've all seen how well that has turned out.
She apparently also is a recording artist.
Yeah.
And she is also very short.
And then another thing that maybe just kind of happenstance with how this worked, she turned out to be a terrible guest judge for this because both teams wanted to make it for the professional woman. And this girl's like 16 years old.
Right. She's like, oh, I don't really wear suits.
Right.
So, 2 weeks in a row with subpar guest judging.
Right. So Team Unity comes out first. And the first look that premieres is a joint effort from Cornelius and Rick. It is a skirt with a blouse top and a jacket made out of kind of that floral pattern that we were talking about earlier.
So I actually think that this is a dress. At first, I thought it was a skirt and a top as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when she took off the bomber jacket, it was all one piece. It has a little bit of a, I guess you could say it's like a faux peplum at the waist that makes it look like it's a top and a skirt. And I can't tell if the non-metallic material is a leather. Do you think it's some type of leather? It seems like
I don't think it's leather.
No? Okay. I'm not sure what it is exactly. But there's, that metallic gray and then a black.
Looks like a black leather skirt.
Yeah. And then this.
Or bottom.
This bomber jacket, which is very well made. It's just that pattern.
Yeah. And I think that the jacket and, as we're going to see, this fabric in general, I think it plays well here because everything else is just all blacks and grays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the only bit of color that they use in this entire look. So it comes out, I think, maybe looking a little bit better than it would with, maybe in a different color scheme.
Yeah. You know what that print is reminding me of now?
Hmm.
Like a map of the Earth. Like you can almost see, it looks like,
sure.
It looks like, the oceans with the land masses in there is kind of what it's looking like up close a little bit.
And I didn't think that the skirt fit that well.
Yeah.
And it probably has a lot to do with the material, but it almost made the model look pregnant at times. Like,
it's that faux peplum.
Yeah. So I thought that looked pretty odd.
Yeah, to me, this skirt is very short, that of the dress, and it didn't scream like working woman to me. Like, mm-hmm. if she's supposed to be going to work, I'm not sure where she's working.
Yeah. So next we have Ma Jing. Ma Jing makes a vest top with a pant, and he uses the silvery metallic material again, and
that black leather.
And yeah, mixed with like a black leather, and then just basically a basic black pant. I didn't get this. Something about the vest just didn't really look right to me. I thought that, I don't know, like sleeves maybe would have helped it.
Mm-hmm.
There was something I couldn't really put my finger on that I just didn't really like with the vest. And then the pants were just kind of this in-between mm-hmm. form. Like they were maybe a little too loose
mm-hmm.
because they're short. So it looks like they should be like cigarette pants. They should be skinny. They should be, you know, skinny cut. But they're baggy. They're not really baggy, but they're loose. Okay. So I feel like the pants should either be longer and loose or tight and the length that it's at.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think, and they talked about this look in the pitch meeting, it's supposed to be a like tuxedo inspired vest. So you have like the look of lapels
mm-hmm.
at, like the neck and the chest area. It does look polished, but again, like you said, with those pants, I don't know if the model's legs are just so skinny and if that's the problem. But the detail work on the vest was very impressive. You know, that part did fit her really well. Again, I could see that being a little bit more office wear. Again, it just didn't seem, but I have to say, I found the two fabrics interesting. I would probably wear it. It's not really as intriguing to me as the first look, only because it was all black and gray, and then the pant fit was kind of weird.
Yeah.
The next look came from Natalia and Robbery, and we have Natalia's jacket that we've kind of touched on, and then Robbery created this top and the pants made out of that print that looks like the globe, but it also looks like some of the black fabric has been like mixed in there as well. So it's kind of color blocked in a way.
Mm-hmm.
This top to me is really bad. The construction of it is very weird. It has like a Peter Pan collar, but then it's very loose fitting and kind of deconstructed on the side. And then you have this very sharp polished jacket over it. And then the pants seem like a little messy with how that pattern is put with, you know, the black. So I just said, you know, I don't like the high neck and the shiny material of that shirt. I'm not even sure what material that is. I don't think it was used in any of the other looks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like someone would probably wear this, especially with that jacket. You know, it's very well made. It felt a little boring, but I do see the kind of the cohesion of, I guess it's easy to be cohesive with all black.
Yeah. I thought the blouse looked good. I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
And then, not to jump ahead here, but when they kind of really get into the detailed view of it, it really does not look that good. It kind of just looks like the material is just kind of cut and ran like around the bottom in a random shape.
It's very bizarre.
I thought the pants looked out of place here. I think they could work with something else. Really the highlight of this look is the jacket that Natalia made. That is a very, very well constructed jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we have Alex's look, and Alex creates this strapless dress in this kind of silvery metallic material. This is a pretty well constructed dress.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's not office wear.
Yeah.
No one's going to wear a strapless dress to the office.
The concept, I mean, it does fit her well. There is some issues in the back with the seam, but I thought it was really pretty and chic. I mean, it was an interesting look with the shine of the fabric, and then he's created this like interesting fold and kind of an asymmetrical belt of a differing metallic, you know. So I thought, yeah, it is good. Didn't necessarily go with the jacket and the pants that had been presented in the previous two looks. I'm not so sure, but I guess if that's your like wow piece of the collection, I thought it was styled well, you know.
Right. I mean, this looks, it's a good looking dress.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really fit for this.
Right, for what their concept was.
So what did you think of Team Unity overall?
So my overall impressions were these were good, like kind of pretty polished looks overall. They didn't necessarily push the envelope at all. Some of them could be considered basic, boring, or safe, particularly with their color palette.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, what'd you think?
I kind of the same as you. It's way too dull. Everything, like, just too much gray and black. And this, the silvery, like, kind of the shiny, sparkly material that we saw in Cornelius and Rick's dress and in partially in Ma Jing's vest, I didn't like it. It looked really, really tacky and really, really cheap.
Oh, really?
I didn't like it at all. But if they do have one thing going for them, it's that it is a cohesive look.
Right.
There is a definite theme throughout all of these looks.
They seem to get the idea of a fashion collection kind of blending one into the other.
Yes.
So next we have House of Bouton coming with their collection. And the first look comes from Dexter. It's pretty basic. It's a tailored suit, and we learn later that this is a denim material, which I didn't pick up.
No, it's not. It's not that obvious. No?
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were saying it was denim.
No.
Okay. You know, the jacket fits really well, and the pants fit really well. Unlike what Ma Jing had, these are kind of truly tailored cigarette pants of the style. It's pretty in now, where you have like the ankle pant. Then you have embellishments at the cuff of the jacket and the pants. And at first I couldn't really tell.
You can see that something is definitely there. It's not quite clear what it is though.
So at first I'm like, okay, this look is pretty basic. It's just this looks like maybe a black tailored suit, but it seems like, yeah, the fit is excellent. So we've got that going for it.
I absolutely love this look.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I mean, it looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it is very, very well made. It fits great. I think the color, even though it's kind of this, I mean, it's a very like navy, you know, it's not something that really pops, but I think with the denim of it, it adds a little bit more to it, to where it's not just that flat color. There is some design aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that looked very, very young professional. It's a, you know, it's your basic, you know, business suit for a woman, but there, you know, the cut of it and the design of it gives it a very young, modern feel.
And given the editing and how they seem to be running around right before the runway, I thought I was worried what those pants were going to look like. And then I'm like, wow, those look really great.
Yeah. Next, we have a dress that's a collaborative effort of Brick and Jenny. And this is just bland on bland.
So boring, man.
And it's not even like the no color of Team Unity. This is just neutral tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of like a beige.
It's like a blush.
Dress with Jenny picked out this mauve material that she really wanted to kind of work with. And so they kind of combined both of these things after they had to get rid of a pleated skirt that Brick was working on. and I think a top that Tasha was working on. Mm-hmm. So they had to scrap both of those, and then they combined these two things, which I don't see how they thought this was going
to
look good.
What do you think that material... So at the neck coming to a triangular point, probably at the upper chest, is this the mauve fabric, and I'm not sure what that fabric is. It kind of looks like fur.
Yeah, it looks like felt almost. Yeah.
It's like, you know, going back to challenge one, it's that weird fur choice again.
Right. And this dress is also super short.
Yeah.
Super, super short, super, super tight.
You can, I mean, she cannot sit down or bend over at all. And this is, yeah, it's just a very basic look. And the triangle piece is weird. And to me, it did not flow out of the first look at all.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem to go with that mm-hmm. at all. I mean, it may have been even worse if this was the third look.
Right.
Because then you would see, you know, the first two looks kind of going together and then that out of nowhere.
So the next look is a collaboration from Laurence and Tasha. And Laurence created this beautiful and really well-tailored leather jacket. I mean, this thing is amazing.
That was incredible. You are overflowing with talent, and I admire you.
And then Tasha created a kind of a basic pencil skirt in a bright yellow. It is the same yellow color that Aaron used in episode one.
Yeah.
You know, it's knee length. It looks really great together.
Yeah.
The jacket is just so chic. I'm not entirely convinced that they go together necessarily. But it does look well. It's not, you know, completely off base. Again, I thought that the looks did not flow from each other. Like, this is not the same girl that's wearing that tube dress in look two.
Right. This jacket is dope. It looks so cool. And it really pops with the yellow skirt that they wear with it really pops. This kind of reminded me of something that our friend Vanessa would wear.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, biker chick, so the leather jacket, obviously, she is going to be all about. And then she just had, like, she would wear a yellow skirt. Like, she could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, this is just a great look overall. I think that, yeah, the separation from the first to third look with that dress in the middle really kind of throws both of these looks off, but you're starting to see a little bit more cohesion with the third look with the first, along with the first look.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we have a long jacket that was designed by Aaron, and Aaron loves the color yellow, apparently. she goes with the yellow again. And what is with the two-tone sleeves in this show?
I don't know.
Because the sleeves are made out of that mauve
bath mat
fur felt material that we saw in the first, or in that dress. And it just doesn't look great. Like, the lapels also have that material, and I could live with that. That doesn't look too bad, but I just, the two-tone sleeves, not for me.
Yeah, I did not like this. To me, I said it's interesting. I'm just not sure. Like, the heaviness, it is shin length, and you're not really sure what's underneath. It looks like just a white shell.
Yeah, and I don't think that was supposed to be the focus at all. I mean, it just looks like it's a skirt. And
yeah.
A blouse.
Yes.
And so the point is the jacket.
Is the coat. And there's the embellishments coat on the pockets from this like sequin material that they picked out at Mood and kind of cut up and put on to the garments. And it kind of matches the embellishments that were on the first look.
Right.
But this reminds me of a winter coat my mom had in like the 90s. It was not that color by any means, but it was that heavy. I mean, it was just that long coat. And I wrote down This is very Dowager Countess, which is Maggie Smith's character on Downton Abbey. They wear these heavy, long, embellished coats on that show, and I'm like, oh, I can see her. The color's a little bold for her, but I can see her wearing something like this. So yeah. I am just not sure. Again, to me, the cohesion isn't there.
Yeah. And I have that it's a very kindergarten art teacher look.
Yeah.
Like the bright yellow of it and like the, you know, the embroidery and stuff on the side. Like that's just something like a quirky art teacher.
Yeah, there. It's very eccentric.
And so it just didn't work for me. I guess, I mean, other than the sleeves, it does look well made.
It does. It looks very expensive. It does look, I mean, that yellow is just so bold.
And I don't even have a problem with the yellow.
No, I mean, I can't really imagine someone wearing this in winter, just because in winter you get those muted colors and people are wearing, you know, the darker tones for their coats. So that person would stick out like a sore thumb, but maybe not in a New York City, Chicago, LA. Right. You would never wear this in LA. Yeah. But.
And again, I think that this fits the design aesthetic, though,
yeah,
of, you know, kind of the younger tech industry professional.
Sure.
So overall, I thought that their looks were better made. Better constructed.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it didn't hurt that they had more color to use in the looks.
I said that this is not a collection. It was just a random group of outfits, it seemed like. They didn't flow from one to the next for me. And maybe I am taking that concept of the collection too literally in how they do the end of season collections at New York Fashion Week, but this just seemed kind of bizarre. This could have just been any runway show for any week for me.
Yeah, so a little different way that we're going to pick this mm-hmm. week. We learned that they're going to decide the team that wins and the team that loses, and somebody is going to win off of the team that wins, and somebody is going to go home off of the team that loses. So, I have House of Bouton winning.
Really?
Yes. And I think Dexter is going to win this competition.
Wow.
Overall. He seemed to be the leader of the team. And his look was a solo effort. And it maybe was the best look of that team.
Who do you have going home on Team Unity then?
I think Ma Jing goes home.
Okay.
I wasn't that impressed with the look that he put together.
Okay. My guess is that Team Unity will be the top team and Alex will be the winner. And so House of Bouton is on the bottom and Brick goes home.
So we find out House of Bouton wins.
I am shocked.
In a shocking upset. I feel shocked.
I cannot believe it. I literally made Curtis pause so I could like scream for a little bit.
And I'm not that shocked, honestly.
Maybe I was being naive, but I was completely shocked.
It's kind of like the Cubs this year.
Okay.
The Cubs should win the World Series. Everything says that they should win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best team in baseball. I'm not saying that team, that House of Bouton is the best team, but they had $2,200 to work with. They could make more mistakes because they probably bought material that they didn't even use in their collection.
To me, they weren't the collection of the strongest designers.
Oh, no.
You know,
oh, God, no.
The sum of their parts were not stronger than the individual parts.
Right. As the judges go through House of Bouton's looks, they point out that they really liked the incorporation of the yellow mm-hmm. throughout the designs.
Yeah, they said the color was really great. And they really loved the embellishments. They felt like they were very beautiful and that elevated that whole collection.
Yes. They did, however, point out, not shockingly, that the jersey dress that Jenny and Brick put together was not good.
How is Brick still here?
This time he got himself on the winning team.
Yeah, somehow he was lucky.
Or he picked the winning team in this case.
Yeah. They loved that leather jacket. They thought it just looked expensive and so chic. And they loved Aaron's coat. They said that the whole collection was just fashion forward and very versatile.
Yeah. They said that Laurence's jacket looks like it cost $2,000, mm-hmm. and she put it together in a day. So,
they went around and they asked all of the team members who they thought should be the winner of this challenge. Aaron got 2 votes, Dexter got 2 votes, and Laurence got 2 votes.
Yeah. And like I said, Dexter seemed to be the leader of the team. He kind of put the whole presentation together. And then even in like looking back at the construction phase, you never really see him working on his outfit. He is kind of jumping around helping other people out. And I think people pointed that out.
Right. Everyone was very diplomatic on the runway in saying what they were responsible for, but what everyone else did, which is a refreshing change from how these team challenges typically go. If you think back to last season's team challenge, remember that one?
No.
It was the paintball one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That may have been one of the first episodes.
I think so. That one was a train wreck, and Kelly Osborne, I think, called some of the women on there, called them out for being a little bitchy.
Yeah.
So then they talk to Team Unity, and I think they're very stunned. They felt like they had a really good look, that, you know, they were done early, they were helping each other. They did have a very good group. They worked really well together, but maybe that could have been to their detriment because there was no one saying like, oh, hey, you know, this is kind of going off the rails.
Right.
But I think it subtly happened.
And the thing about that is that Ma Jing, earlier in the episode, they kind of give the one-on-one interview with him, and he feels like he's being ignored. He was trying to say, this needs more color.
Yeah.
And in the end, that kind of was what their downfall was.
But Heidi did say that this was a cohesive collection.
Right.
That did have everyone's ideas, and they should be very proud of what they created. It was just over-designed and so dark.
Right. The general consensus from the judges seemed to be that they didn't necessarily lose the challenge. They just didn't win it. The judges were very complimentary of everything that they put together. It was just the other collection was better. They didn't like the color. They did appreciate what was done with the money that they had.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Nina liked it very much. She pointed out, you know, as one of the investors, that she didn't see their mission statement in these clothes. You know, they were supposed to be empowering and providing confidence to career women. And these clothes weren't for career women. She said if someone showed up to work, you know, at the Marie Claire offices and that she'd wonder where they were going. Mm. And I could see that with like Alex's dress, with, you know, as great as Natalia's coat was, just that coat with everything else. So, you know, Zach and Nina kind of got on them for that.
Right. And Zach says that if this was, you know, if you said that your design aesthetic was, you know, going out where for the young and modern female, mm-hmm. they probably would have won the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, basically they just got off of what their mission statement was. Heidi really did like Ma Jing's vest, which I was surprised at. Since I didn't see that at all. She said, I think she said that was her favorite mm-hmm. piece of the entire challenge.
Mm-hmm. And then the kind of the bottom looks for them were Alex's dress. Zach said it was just not polished and just very messy because that shiny fabric showed all the mistakes with the seams in the back.
Right.
And they hated Robbery and Natalia's look just because those pants ended up being very wrinkly with how the two materials were put together. And then that deconstructed top was very bizarre, they thought.
Yeah, they said it just doesn't go with anything else mm-hmm. in the look since nothing else featured a deconstructive look.
Right.
So they kind of go through the team and ask the hard question of who do you think should go home? Rick says that, you know, everybody's explanation features some form of, you know, this was a team effort. Everybody's, you know, input was in every single look. Everything was done as a team. We really felt that, you know, this was a good look for us. But he says at the end, if the judges felt that Alex's dress was the worst of them all, it should be Alex to go home.
Yeah. This part is hard.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of see throughout this entire time that they're being critiqued, the fear in everybody's face.
Right.
That they could be going home here.
And I think because all that they were doing so well and they were shocked to be on the bottom, you know, and so Robbery, Cornelius, and Natalia all offer themselves up as the person to go home.
Which I thought was kind of funny because I just imagined Rick like being over the side, like, man, I look like a huge asshole now.
Dick. And I am shocked Cornelius had that in him.
Yeah, I was very surprised too and impressed, honestly.
Yeah, for all my harping on his, you know, millennialness and, you know, the lady shade, he really kind of manned up, and I do hate that term, but he did step up and, you know, he's like, well, if you didn't really like what I did, I, you know, created this concept just as much as anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ma Jing kind of brought it back and he's like, you know, Alex did the pitch. And if you didn't like what the mission statement was and how it corresponded to the clothes, that was all kind of on Alex.
Yeah.
And Alex then stepped up and he said, yeah, I mean,
it was on me.
I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that kind of steered us in this direction. And he was very gallant, and Nina and Heidi said that she found it to be very respectable that he took that sort of accountability in his role. And I think that just comes from him being a businessman.
Yeah.
If this had been any other season, you just see a lot of this, like, survivor sort of tactics of, you know, alliances and stuff. But this was a very refreshing team challenge, and it was surprising given the promos. I know that they did it, you know,
for sure,
to get the drama, but they all worked very well together, these two teams.
So we get House of Bhutan back out, and we learn that Dexter is the winner of the challenge.
I'm very surprised by a little bit. I guess I was so down on their collection, I didn't even consider it.
Right. So then out comes Team Unity, and they name off Rick, Ma Jing, Cornelius, and Natalia, leaving Robbery and Alex standing.
No! Why is this happening to me?
And we learn that Alex is going home.
No! No! God! No! God, please, no! 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 I even alluded to this last week where I'm like, wouldn't it be so sucky if, you know, he just goes along creating these really great looks and then he has a you know, bomb of a week. And this was
then lo and behold, very next week. So
I am so bummed. Like, how can this happen? This is what I'm upset by. Brick is still in this freaking competition.
So they're in the room together. Lots of tears. Lots of crying. Robbery is crushed right now.
Poor Robbery.
In comes Tim Gunn. And he is very, very complimentary of Team Unity. Thought that how they carried themselves was very respectable.
Inspirational. Statesmanlike.
And we don't get a Tim Gunn save.
I am crushed.
I thought for sure
I know.
We were going to get a Tim Gunn save.
I think it's too early in the season, but I am shocked because, again, I'm sorry, Brick is still there and Alex is gone.
I mean, we saw this last season, too.
I know, and that's the way these team challenges work out sometimes.
Friggin' Ashley won the entire thing.
I know.
And she advanced mostly because of agenda, but also because she just wasn't as bad as other people consistently throughout the season. Anytime that she had a bad challenge, somebody else had a horrendous challenge.
Right.
So Brick, I'll give him a little credit. He's improved. The bar was low,
but he's improved. I really don't think he has. You were pretty convinced there was going to be a Tim Gunn save.
I thought for sure. I thought there was no way that they were going to send home a guy who was in the top three of every single challenge.
Except for one. Mm-hmm.
And again, probably could have won any of those challenges.
Any of the ones that he was in the top four,
I thought for sure Tim Gunn was coming in and saving him. And they played it out like he was going to do it, too.
Because this
And game, they even mentioned it earlier in the show that Tim Gunn has a save.
Right before they started the runway show, Heidi, you know, which I think they probably edit this out some weeks, you know, talked about the Tim Gunn save. And, you know, Alex is a true class act because he reminded Tim that he tried out for season 4 and he got all the way to the point where he met with Tim. And Tim told him that, you know, you have a ton of potential. You're just not there yet. Keep working at it. And he said that's what inspired him to go back. He got his associates. He got his bachelor's. He got his master's. He's now running his own business, and you kind of look at how far he's come and all because of what Tim said, which I'm getting goosebumps right now. I mean,
it pulled at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
It really was a very, very nice, very, very genuine moment.
Right. It was just very inspirational because that's the type of things that kind of happen on this show and also Top Chef to some extent because they are just so creative driven, but also you got to have some good luck on your side sort of fields.
Yeah.
And you come this close to kind of fulfilling it, and then you kind of have these stumbling blocks. So I wish Alex the best. I hope that, you know, somehow you don't hear a ton about Project Runway contestants, even the winners sometime. So I hope that he still, you know, advances in the fashion industry.
Yeah. So try and put together a power rankings after this week.
So I'm going to be honest with everyone here. I was so bummed out. I'm like, I don't even care. And I just wrote down a whole bunch of names.
I'm fine. It's just that life is pointless and nothing matters. And I'm always tired. Also, I can't sleep. I'm overeating. None of my old hobbies interest me.
So my number 5 is Dexter, I guess. Now, I mean, at this point, I don't even know who to choose from. But I wrote Dexter. He's got the win. He'll move in.
This was a blow-up week. This was a lot of things changed in my power rankings.
Yeah.
This was the trap week in college football where everybody's going to go play their conference schedule. They just got to get through their last set of non-con cupcake games, and some people get knocked off. I have Rick as number 5. He was on the losing team. He didn't do that great this week, but I think he did well enough, and especially after a win last week, that he can kind of just hang around in the top 5.
It's tough to gauge on these team challenges a little bit.
My number 4, I have Dexter. Dexter's kind of been coasting as of now, but he definitely has never been, I don't think he's ever been threatening to be in the bottom.
Right. He's been in the middle pack.
He's been in the middle, and I honestly, like, his black light look, I thought actually was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's pretty solid, so he's number four after a win this week.
Okay. I have Robbery as my number four. I think, again, I was depressed about Alex leaving, and so I just wrote a name.
Okay.
My number three is Rick. Similar reasons for your listing him at your number five. You know, he had the win last week. He had a respectable look this week, kind of hard. You know, and I keep thinking of the people I leave out of my power rankings. I just cannot see myself moving Natalia or Cornelius in there at any point. They just haven't shown me anything to kind of warrant that. I'm definitely not moving Brick in there. Watch, Brick's going to freaking be one of the Fashion Week
right.
presenters.
I have Laurence as number three.
Okay.
Maybe even simply off of that jacket that she made today, because it was so good. But also, she has shown a lot of talent in her construction. And also, of all the designers, I think that she has the best grasp on what is cool and what is hip now, and combines that with actual wearable looks.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could probably say the same about Tasha in the, you know, has a grasp on what is hip and cool now, but just haven't seen anything from her yet that is as translatable as what Laurence has made.
Yeah.
My number two is Robbery. He slips back a little bit this week, but he still had, I mean, this is his first bad week. Everything else he's made up until now has looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have Laurence at number two. And I know sometimes that she has some slip-ups, like in the swimsuit challenge. She reminds me of Wisconsin volleyball. They have so much potential, and they have so much of the name going for them. But some weeks are rougher than others, and you're wondering why they're there, mm-hmm. such as her swimsuit challenge.
Yeah.
But then she goes off and makes this amazing leather jacket, and she reminds you why she is there and why, you know, she's so good at what she does. Like, her tailoring is impeccable. Like you said, she has really cool style. So I think, you know, barring any stumbles a la Alex, unfortunately, you know, she should remain in the top.
Maybe you just jinxed Wisconsin volleyball, because last time you said that Aaron was Nebraska volleyball, and as everybody knows, I'm sure
they did lose. They to lost Ohio
the
State.
Very night, like the very next night.
Yeah, so they are no longer number one. That was held by Wisconsin volleyball, but they lost last night, so they're gonna get knocked off.
Everybody knows these things, babe.
I'm just reminding them in case I didn't.
So your number one is.
I still have Erin as my number one. I thought she was gonna win the challenge this week because they were so impressed with that coat, and I think, you know, if not for probably wanting to spread out the wins a little bit and Dexter's leadership, she probably would have won it.
Right. I also have Aaron as number one. There was something that was said this challenge as the judges kind of critiquing at the very end of it that may not work out in Aaron's favor. They said the same thing for Laurence. They said, when you saw Laurence's jacket come down the runway, you knew it was Laurence's. They said the same thing about Aaron's coat, is that you knew that Aaron put that together.
I think that's
so
a good thing.
It is a good thing in that they recognize her design aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
but it also may be a bad thing in that she's becoming predictable, maybe.
Maybe. I saw it as more like the embellishment she's done that this is the third time I can think of just off the top of my head.
Right.
So maybe the predictability, but maybe she has such a strong, clear voice.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying, though, in that they do not want the same look week in and week out.
Right. So I think this week is going to turn out to be a turning point in the entire season.
I agree.
We just lost who clearly is one of the best designers on the show.
Yeah, and Brick is still there.
Honestly, I think that we only had 3, maybe 4 really good ones, and everybody else, for the most part, kind of middling.
Yeah.
So now this show is either more wide open than it has been, or it's even more errands for the taking.
Because we're down to 11 designers now. So we're going to see some separation because, you know, there's a top 3 and a bottom 3. So that's 6 people. So there's less room to be safe now. So the margin for error is dwindling and they're really going to have to step up. You know, you can't be the worst one because there may not be people behind you that are doing worse. So we'll see how it goes. I think we're back to, you know, an individual challenge next week.
It does appear that way.
And the only thing that can make it better for me is if somehow Alex magically reappears.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I am still incredibly bummed out.
Well, we will try to pull it together throughout this week, and we will be back next week with another episode.
Yeah, I'll let you know who's the volleyball number 1 for next week, if you're interested.
Everybody will know that already, because everybody pays attention to that.
Exactly. So, you know, get over your Alex depression. We'll check in with you next time.
Auf Wiedersehen.